The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome again. The Four Noble Truths. The noble truth of suffering. The noble truth of the arising or origin of suffering. The third noble truth of the cessation of suffering, and the fourth noble truth of the way, the path, the practice leading to the cessation of suffering. And I'm wanting to emphasize this morning, bringing the whole body along. As we said at the end of the sitting, it's the body and the mind together through which we awaken. So I have this metaphor that helps me remember that the whole body is involved in this eightfold path. And that's likening each factor to a part of the body. This is totally my idea, so let it go if it doesn't land for you. So right view is like the eyes, that sense that orients us to our direction on the path. I liken right intention to the head that I associate with impulses, thoughts, and choices. Right speech, for obvious reasons. Right action and right livelihood, like the left and the right hand together. So action and livelihood, not so distinguished. Right effort, associate with the belly. There are associations of power in the stomach. Motive force, so right effort in the belly. Right mindfulness, I link to the entire sensing body, this whole body's mindfulness. And then right concentration, the heart. And the association with the heart is actually influenced by the teachings of the Thai forest tradition, that the heart and the citta, the mind, they locate in the chest. And they say when one becomes concentrated, what happens is it's the citta that's becoming concentrated, the citta that's collecting. So I love to think of the heart becoming collected in the center of the being. So this metaphor helps remind me that this whole body comes along. So yesterday we spoke about five factors of the eight, the Noble Eightfold Path. We touched on right view, right intention, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And I divided those factors in a way to emphasize right view, holding up right view, and then holding up the other four in a sort of creative category I called conduct. Usually, the path is divided into three divisions. The division of wisdom, that includes right view and right intention. The division of sila, virtue, or ethics, that includes speech, action, and livelihood. And then this third division, which will be the focus this morning, which is samadhi, concentration. This includes three factors also, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. So these three factors, again, I want to emphasize that right view is not left behind. No matter where we go on the path, we're orienting to the next step on the path and the goal at whatever distance. So there's this beautiful sutta, Middle Length Discourses 117, that is called the Great 40. And there's this description in it over and over and over again about how right view, mindfulness, and right effort all circle and run around each other. I love the dynamic aspect of thinking of these factors of the Eightfold Path running and circling around each other, and that right view and right mindfulness and right effort are all working together. So part of that teaching, it explains what each of these factors is. So in this teaching, right view is incorporated. The effort that's involved is to abandon an unwise view and to enter into right view. And the mindfulness that's involved is that which keeps us attentive. We have to be able to recognize right view and recognize wholesome effort. That's the mindfulness. So maybe in other words, we could say that right view orients us skillfully. Effort is the effort to align with right view that we see. And then the mindfulness is that attentiveness which allows this process to happen. So right view stays with us. Right view stays with us as we move into this samadhi section. Right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. Let's see. In relationship to the Eightfold Path, right effort is that effort that it takes to enter into each one of the factors of the Eightfold Path. As we were just saying, the effort it takes to enter into right view and let go of its opposite. And then that effort it takes to enter into wise intentions and let go of the opposite. Same with speech, same with action, same with livelihood. Now in meditation, the art of finding the right amount of effort is often the main question. And that effort is likened to tuning a stringed instrument. Maybe you've heard this teaching before of the Buddha meeting Sona, who's having a tough time in his meditation. He seems to be doing everything right, but it's not going well for him. And the Buddha asks him a question about his effort. And in explaining how the art of finding the right amount of effort likens the application of energy to tuning a stringed instrument. If it's too loose, the string won't play. If it's too tight, the instrument's out of tune. So you have to tuning the effort. So circling around with right effort, of course, right view, and right mindfulness. So right mindfulness, there's a contemporary teacher who says that to be mindful is easy. To be mindful is easy. What is difficult is to remember to be mindful. I appreciate that. Maybe we could say that right mindfulness is a sort of comfort zone in our tradition. We talk about it a lot, we study it a lot, we practice it regularly. You might say we do this with some energy. Though it's our comfort zone, so to speak, it takes vigor. We see this in the Satipatthana Sutta, that there's a degree of ardency involved in our right view and clear seeing in our practice of mindfulness. And it's a wonder, it's just a wonder that the power of sustained clear awareness, clear mindfulness, is able to develop what's beautiful in us and to support us to abandon what's harmful. Can you hear the right effort that comes along with right mindfulness? Helps us to grow in the beneficial. Also part of the power of mindfulness is the simplicity of the method. It's so easy to describe that what we're doing in mindfulness is to clearly know the body, this body as body. These feeling tones as feeling tones, this mind as this mind, and qualities as qualities, just as they're arising, not as we wish they were, not as we wish they weren't, but just as they are. And doing this, putting aside greed and distress in reference to the world, it said. The simplicity is just amazing. So that's right effort, right mindfulness, and this brings us to right concentration, wise concentration. Or as Gil has been teaching recently, complete concentration. So in a way, this eighth factor of the Eightfold Path is like the culmination of the Eightfold Path in that, in one reckoning, it arises at the end and it's been conditioned and supported by the entire path before it. Again, in this teaching, the Great 40, right concentration is explained as that sort of concentration that's invested with all of the other factors of the Eightfold Path. Another classic understanding is that wise concentration is related to these four deep states of unification of the mind and heart called jhana. And why I want to bring them up is because the images that are used to teach most of them are associated with water. Why is that significant? You might, when thinking about concentration, you might think, oh, laser beam. Oh, clamp. I will sternly demand that my awareness be in one place, something like that. So rather than the laser beam or clamp metaphor, thinking about water, the first of the four metaphors being like sprinkling water on bath powder, or maybe in modern terms, sprinkling water on bread dough and kneading it so that this dough is unified and there's water suffused throughout it, nothing extra. And in the same way, in this state, the body is filled with rapture and pleasure. And then the second, just as another example, is a state of concentration, collectedness of the mind, where a spring-fed lake is welling up from within. And that's likened to the pervading of cool waters throughout the body. So, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. These are the, maybe we could say these are meditation's contribution to the Noble Eightfold Path. It's been quite a delight this first week of 2024 that we've returned to the Buddha's traditional first teaching on the First Noble Truth. And in to summarize, we've reflected on this path of practice that is to be cultivated, that's to be developed in order to realize freedom from suffering, with some gratitude to the Buddha, the great physician. It's based on his understanding of dukkha, his understanding of this human predicament and its causes. These are the Four Noble Truths. And in closing, I want to say that the truths are noble in part because they are ennobling, therefore ennobling truths. So in the Buddha's time, of course, nobility was something that one was born into. But this was not so for the Buddha. A noble one instead was one who had realized a degree of freedom of heart, free of greed, free of hatred, free of delusion. And I'd like to encourage us as we close and as we move forward on this path together, to appreciate and be nourished by all of those noble moments when the heart is free of greed, hatred, and delusion. And I'm so inspired by this, that each moment that's free of greed, hatred, and delusion is a noble moment, that we're bringing nobility into the world in a direct, material, actual way with every step we take in this world that's free of greed, free of hatred, free of delusion. Thank you so much for your attention, your practice, your kindness this week. Hopefully I will be back with you soon. And I don't know that I'll be back before this, so I want to say now that Gil and I will be teaching a retreat together in June at Insight Retreat Center. So I believe registration opens for that sometime in February, so if that's of interest, maybe we'll see you there. Take care, everyone. Best wishes. May all beings be free of suffering and have the causes of happiness. And may we all walk the path with balanced hearts and minds and view each other with kind eyes. Take care.